still very close with the friends that I made in high school. We have a group chat that someone has put something in the group chat. I'm pretty sure every single day since we graduated high school together. We're very close friends. That was a little over a decade ago. And every single day at that time, someone has wanted to tell the group something. Some days it's very active, lots of talking going on. Some days a little quieter, but always something. And quite a few of my friends are software engineers, so at this point, the group chat has become quite the sophisticated thing. It's divided up into channels based on topic. So if you want to talk about music, that goes in the music chat. If you want to talk about movies, that goes in the movies chat. If you want to talk about sports, there's no sports chat. It's never come up in our friendship. A lot of us were on the debate team together. There was no sports talk. And you can, if you don't want to talk about movies or music or whatever, you can just mute that part. Whenever anybody puts anything in that topic, you don't get a notification about it. And one of the channels in our group chat is called Religion, Money, and Politics. I've had that one muted for years. We don't talk about that. If you want to talk about it, it goes in there. It does not bleed into the other channels. Although recently, not too long ago, I unmuted it because Pope Leo got elected. And my friends, they're not Catholic, okay? One of them is Catholic, but we don't need to get into it. I'm wondering why. But Pope Leo got elected, and they're all like, he's making the news a lot in really good ways, but they don't really understand the church, and they're like, oh, we have a friend who's a priest, he should answer questions about all this stuff that Pope Leo is doing. So I unmuted it, so I can, it's been really positive, and I can talk about, you know, what Pope Leo's doing, what's going on in the church. I can answer their questions. It's been really good. Until a couple days ago, when some really big news broke, a lot of emails and documents were recently released. If you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. That's amazing. I wish I didn't know what I was talking about. But some really big revelations possibly came out about some really important people because of some emails and stuff. And so that's what they want to talk about now. And they're either reveling in it, yes, finally these people are being taken down, or they're catastrophizing about it. Oh, this is the end. This is the end of everything. And that's kind of what I've seen also just in the public sphere, online and on television. All these revelations about politics and all these things, people tend to either really revel in it, really become attached to it, or they catastrophize. This is the end of the world. This is it. It's all falling apart. I find it interesting in our gospel reading today, when the people are gathered around the temple, St. Luke tells us that they were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings. They were talking about how the temple was adorned beautifully. But Luke does not tell us what they thought of it. St. Luke doesn't tell us whether they thought it was a good thing or a bad thing. Is it good that the temple has been adorned with such beautiful stones and votive offerings? Look at how wonderful our community has been able to make this temple. Or did they think it was a waste? Look at all this could do for the poor. Why are we just using it to adorn the temple? Or were they criticizing the Pharisees and the scribes, who would often swindle people out of their money to adorn the temple? We don't know. St. Luke doesn't tell us what their opinion was, only that they were talking about. Were they reveling in it, or were they catastrophizing? Did they love it, or did they hate it? St. Luke, when he writes his gospel, is very careful with what information he chooses and chooses not to give to the reader. This is a conscious choice by St. Luke to not tell us what their opinion was, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they thought about it. Our Lord tells us as a Christian. Our eyes are aimed toward eternity. Our minds and our hearts are marching toward eternal life. The things of this world, at the end of the day, don't particularly matter very much. One of my students at the college, he's trying to become a police officer. He's a good young man. I think he'll make a really excellent police officer. But his family is very worried about it. There's been a lot of stuff with police in the news. It's a very dangerous job. And he was telling me about this. And he said, "Father, you know what? Worst case scenario, I die." And that was always going to happen. There's no situation in which I don't eventually die. So, worst case scenario, I die. That's, I think, a really great example of the Christian attitude that bewilders the world. What do you mean, worst case scenario, you die? That's a terrible thing. That's horrible. And he would say, well, one, that was always going to happen. Two, this is not my home. My home is with God. And if that's how he decides to take me home, then okay. That's how he decided to take me home. We have a tendency in this earthly life to either revel in it, to become so obsessed with it, that we forget about everything else around us, or to catastrophize everything. We meet disaster, and we think of it as true disaster, and we lose all hope. But Christian hope is made of firmer stuff. Christian hope is not, "I hope this happens, but it might not." Christian hope is the assurance of future events. I know that Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We say it every Sunday. I know that he will come and set things right. I know that whatever injustices I see in this world, whatever corruption I see in this world, whatever success or failure I experience in this world, Christ is on his way to make it all right. In the end of all things, justice is accomplished. Now, does this mean we can just ignore whatever's going on in the world? Absolutely not. That's what our second meeting is all about. St. Paul warns his people that there are some of you who are not working. There are some of us who aren't doing what we're supposed to do in this world. Today is World Sunday for the poor. We need to be about our Father's business. Christian hope is active. I know that Christ is on his way to set everything right. I'm going to try to make it as easy a job for him as possible once he finally does get here. I'm going to do what I can to work for justice, make the world a better place. And when I find success, I'll rejoice. I'll thank the Lord for it. And I'll keep working on the next injustice that needs to be corrected. But when I find failure, when the world doesn't go the way I want it to, when we find even disaster and catastrophe, we can say, well, worst case scenario, this will get fixed when Jesus comes to fix it all. Worst case scenario, I die and I get to go home. Christian hope, the Christian vision, the Christian mind, and the Christian heart don't rest here. They are active here, moving here, working here, but looking ahead. Hoping ahead, waiting ahead. Pray for the day that Christ will come to set everything right. And knowing that he will. My brothers and sisters, I hope you know Jesus is on his way to set everything right. Be about our Father's business. Do good in this world. Correct every injustice you can find. Know that this world won't be perfect for as long as we're living on it. And know that he is on his way. And in the end, Christ, justice will be accomplished.